Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Yes, folks, it's going to be exactly that, a illuminating discussion. I just love that intro. Listen, folks, welcome back to our show today. Today we are on number 14 of the 15 diseases of leadership according to Pope Francis, and there were 15. So we're almost through all these, and I know that we'll have something special right after we're done with this. But I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez, who is stressed out of his mind because his daughter's getting married Saturday. How you doing, Johnny?
Oh, what an introduction. Yeah, holy cow. I landed last night at midnight for meeting with clients, and then you jump right into the middle of it. So it's been, you know, but what a wonderful, it's exciting, it's stressful, it's all those things, and she's just so happy, she's going to look so stunning, and it's crazy, I guess, we'll leave it at
that.
Yeah,
of course, it's the summer weddings. So you've kind of been out traveling, and tell the audience a little bit about what you're doing, because I know you're doing great work with companies, and so if, you know, you happen to need someone like Johnny and his company, that are doing great work. Tell them a little bit about what you're doing. I know you're out here in on the right coast, the west coast.
Right. It's been crazy. There's been a lot's been going on, and you know, you and I haven't been able to catch up as frequently as we normally do, just because of craziness of New York and just this last week. But I've had the opportunity to sit down and meet with. I mean, I'm not kidding. Of course, I'm not at liberty to share the companies, but with some CEOs and senior executives this last week who are just salt of the earth type of individuals who are transforming organizations. And it's amazing because a lot of times, you know, these companies begin to transform between a small company, say, you know, up to, let's just say, $20 million, in depending on the industry you're in. And what's fascinating, it's no different than anything else. You pursue something because you have a passion about it, and you believe there's some profit in it. But what begins to happen is your business grows. Pretty soon that passion can only take you so far. And a lot of organizations I'm working with now, with the exception of a couple I've spoken to this last week, that are Fortune 100 companies, they're looking for guidance. You know, it's almost like, help me see what I can't see, and help me understand what I don't know. And it's kind of like helping them eliminate road bumps. And it's everything, Daniel, from leadership, employee engagement, team development, and really shaping cultures of organizations to literally the operational aspects. And, I mean, it's so easy to get big to the point where you realize that, oh, my gosh, here all the time my teams have been willing this done because they love me. And the true essence of it is I have no operational structure whatsoever. So, I mean, it's just a myriad of things. And I didn't even tell you that I got an invitation. I'll be in Pakistan in the month of November for a couple days. I'm speaking out there to an innovative and creative problem-solving group out there. And it's just, I've been very, very blessed these last couple of weeks. And some great companies out there, some great dialogue, and taking me into what will be an exciting weekend. But so how was your... So how have you been? Holy cow, you and I again haven't talked much. I know you were a little under the weather this last week, but you got a lot going on.
Yeah, well, you know, I was under the weather doing two trips to Peru and then to L.A., I mean, to New York, really did me under. I've just now started to get to feeling better. But, yeah, you know what? The good news about what's going on out of the marketplace is that it is always evolving. And I think today's businesses, I guess they always have been, if I think back even 20 years, are always looking for a way to, you know, kind of have the cutting edge of what's next in, you know, I hate to put it this way, but what's the flavor of the month type thing. And flavor of the months tend to kind of like one-hit wonders don't last. And people are looking for something that's a little bit more sustainable, while yet at the same time giving them those bottom line profits that their board of directors and or stockholders are looking for, which is why I think you and I decided to tack on this, these topics of the 15 diseases of leadership, according to Pope Francis, because I think that he outlines very bluntly things that we may not talk about openly in our corporate circles. Speaking of circles, today he talks about the disease of closed circles. And that's interesting because really, really simply said, it's the disease of belonging to a clique and getting caught up in that, you know, I belong to type conversation that doesn't really to get you anywhere. I think it begins with good intentions, but with the passing of time, it kind of enslaves its members, and it becomes a cancer within the circle that's created, and also kind of begins to isolate possible productive members of the company. So what are your thoughts about this? I mean, I know it's there's a lot that kind of is around the peripherals of this conversation, but I do know that I've experienced, you know, where there was a group of good old boys, so to speak, that were hard to penetrate and seemed to, again, the word there, operative word is seemed to have had some sort of power over decision-making in the company.
You know, this is, I was looking at our topic as I was, I was having someone read it. I should be careful how I say that. and it started to be funny because I think this is one of those hot buttons that people talk about by the water cooler quite often. And there's two ways. I think there's the perception of closed circles and cliques. And then there's the reality of it. And I think when you see companies out there, like let's just say Google and Facebook, and you hear how those organizations are ran. Now, again, remember, every company is different. And this is the one thing I can share with you working with organizations is that the perception that you have of an organization from the outside is never the reality of how it actually is on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's never as great or it's never as terrible. And but I would share with you, if you're outside looking in, the perceptions of how organizations like Google, fully collaborative, right, no walls, completely interactive. When you think of environments like that, that's the extreme where they try to minimize the closed circles and the cliques. They're going to exist in every organization. The challenge you run into is when there's the perception. So let's just say I, as a leader, I have X number of direct reports, and I have an organization, let's just say that's 500,000 people strong through a normal organizational hierarchy. And there's going to be individuals, depending on the state of the organization, that I am going to spend a disproportionate amount of my time with. So if I'm a CEO and I have a company that's struggling and I'm publicly held and I start spending a significant time with not just my CFO, but a group of a handful of folks within the financial arm of my organization, that's completely logical. That makes all the sense in the world, and you can see what it – but the challenge is when people start perceiving that they're the favored, you know, sons and daughters of the company and all the background and that. The other end of that, though, is when I, as a leader, for a matter of convenience, because you and I, Dan, we share common hobbies, we share a common background, we share common social habits, right? And when those things start happening, and you have your little clique of folks that you're going out and having beers with, drinks with, having over for barbecues, those types of things, that's when it's problematic. And it's not just problematic from the standpoint of what does that do to your organization from a morale standpoint, because everyone's looking at, let's just say Dan's the boss, Johnny's in Dan's circle, and people are looking at Dan as, well, what a rotten leader because he doesn't allow anyone else to provide a point of view unless it's Johnny, so you got to work through Johnny and suck up to his friends to Dan. And or the fact that Johnny's a suck up, and no one likes Johnny, regardless of how capable Johnny is. There is it, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
He's brown nosing. And in either one of those situations, it's a lose lose. But what really happened, and I think this is the beauty of what of that paragraph that is attached to our radio show today, is that the beauty of what you're really missing out on is the diversity and the collaborative efforts of all of those people that are outside of the inner circle. And it's when we start pushing people outside. So first of all, anyone that's in the organization, if you're the boss, you assume that you either hired them yourself or you empowered someone that you trust, like-minded leader, to hire them on your behalf or on the behalf of your organization. You don't have to be CEO. You can be a senior VP, VP, director, senior, it doesn't matter, manager. But the bottom line is there's a reason you brought these people in your organization. Why in God's good name would you keep them out of your circle?
Right.
When the beauty is when you bring more people to the table that have more diverse backgrounds, including experience, upbringing, social, physical, emotional, et cetera, that's where the beauty of this is. The problem is they can never get to that because once these little clicks start in these little closed circles, that's when the bitterness, you know, I talked about the culture shaping a little bit ago, that's when the jealousy creeps in and all of those things that slowly over time, you know, it's the frog in the boiling water. You don't realize it right now today, but pretty soon you do an employee engagement survey and then ultimately customer engagement surveys where you realize that, wait a second, 5 years ago we were at the top of our game. We were the top 10% quartile of every company in the city, state, world, whatever, in terms of employee engagement. Now we're bottom 50%. How did that happen?
Mm.
And that's exactly what takes place. It's corrosive, and over time it just continues to build and build. And if they see you as the boss, having your little circles, right? I'm in your little circle. All of a sudden what you've done is you don't even have to give me the title. What you've done is you've unleashed or you've empowered me an entire level up. No matter who my peers are, now what you've done is you've elevated me above everyone else. And now I start creating my little cliques and so on and so on and so on. It becomes incredibly corrosive, Dan. And you said it yourself. You've seen it, and you see it in organizations you work with.
Yep. Let me ask you a question, though. And this, I've been thinking about this as you were kind of sharing your point of view, which is spot on. So here's where the fine line comes in. When is it okay to – do you have to invite the whole company to have a manager's retreat, to have a barbecue or a swimming thing at your house? Or, you know what I'm saying? Because it really is a fine line about how you communicate. Because as much as we want to say, let's keep this under hat, you know it never does. Because someone – and that's exactly what this is talking about, is that someone uses it for their betterment. Says, I got to go over to Johnny's house, you didn't. How can it be done, or is it just a no-no and you just shouldn't be inviting your subordinates, period?
No, I think it's – you said it in with which your statement is communication. And one of the things I always believe in, and I've never claimed to be the world's greatest leader by any means, but one of the things I had a strong belief in was that you have to have a high level of transparency. Now, I'm not saying transparency, saying confidential information that puts you in jeopardy with Wall Street, blah, 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 blah. I'm so with the look. I'm talking about transparency from the standpoint that if you've got me on a special project, and I'm assuming if you're a reasonably strong leader, you have a couple things in place. You have very consistent and predictable rhythms within your organization in which and how you communicate with your teams above and beyond email. Email's a great supplement. It's not a replacement.
That's right.
If in those circles, you're standing in front of the team and you're saying, I want to help you understand what our, let's just say for the moment, our quarterly strategy, what I've got in the works. And I want to highlight a couple of folks that I'm bringing into a couple circles to help me with some projects. And I'm going to help you understand as to why. So at that point, you're doing a couple of things. One, you're providing transparency. There's some work you've got going on. And you can openly say, you know, there's only so much I can share with you, but we're doing some work around X that requires this, and this capability. And as part of that, I'm bringing, you know, Billy Joe, Bob, you know, Susie Q, Daniel, and Johnny into this work with me. And, you can joke about it. You know, I've had them sign NDAs, so please do me a favor and don't ask what we're discussing. But ultimately, to make it okay and put them in a space where they understand, one, they're being honored for their skills because the boss is pulling them into a circle. And the other thing is to hold them up to allow their peers to recognize them, and that eliminates all of the noise. What's he doing in his office? What's she doing in her office? And what's taking place behind closed doors? You're telling them right up front. But the other part of it is you've got to provide ongoing updates. So don't put those people that you're bringing into your circle into a position where they have to kind of be sneaky or what can I say, what can I say. For me, I would tell you that the bigger challenge, and it's human nature. You and I, any team we've ever ran, you can immediately, if you say, who were those that were closest to you? Right now, you can think of two or three people that in your last position, no matter what it was, that you would talk to on your way home from work.
Yep.
That you would say, hey, can you come to my office? Hey, can you grab lunch with me real quick? All of those types of behaviors, right? Because they were your confidants. You trusted them and you valued their perspective. There is nothing wrong with that. As long as you always push it through the filter of how could others perceive my actions and the actions of this individual, putting them in a precarious spot. So the more you do that, so if I'm going to pull you out, you and I are going to go to lunch a couple, two, three times a week, what I got to make sure is that those days when I'm not hanging with you, I'm being very purposeful and grabbing other people on the same team to go hang out and ask and have lunch as well. Not just to hang out, but to gather insights and feedback on my leadership, the leadership of the team, the progress of the team, all of those things that it takes to require business to be healthy. But for me, it's so much about transparency. And, yeah, and you know what? We all have favorites. That's the reality of it. But you've just got to be able to manage it professionally and respecting those they work with as well as those whom you favor. That's the reality of it, Daniel.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it is that setting those types of protocols, guidelines, whatever you want to call them, actually set the example for your lower level subordinates. Because, you know, you're right. Every company is going to go through that type of cliquish type of getting together with each other. And I think that if you're clear about how you go about it from a managerial standpoint or an executive standpoint, it pretty much sets the tone for how the rest of the organization participates in these types of behaviors that, quite honestly, you know, are childish in that they're kind of high school type behaviors, but cost, I think, companies big dollars in the end because they just are not productive at all. However, human nature is human nature. You're right. People are going to have friends. People are going to have favorites. I think what we're talking about here is a disease of closed circles that gets out of hand, that it clearly becomes, yeah, I've got something you don't.
That's right. And, you know, Daniel, I think another, if I were to share a best practice, one of the things that I was always impressed by when I would see leaders pull, let's just say, someone within their circle into their office, they're having the conversation, and there's enough honor amongst them, enough humility, that the individual they're reaching out to says, you know what, I can take you 50% down this conversation, but there's a member on my team or two or three members on my team that can really help us get granular into what we want to, what we need to discuss. And for that leader, he or she can take two roles. They can say, okay, you go out, gather the information, put together a hypothesis, et cetera, and then bring it back to me and let's have further discussion, which in my mind, that's legacy-type thinking again, right? That's the most common way to do it, and that's the most common way it's been done in history. You know, only so many people get to talk to the boss. Or the other option, which I commend and I think is absolutely glorious because it continues to give back and inspires a broader team, even those that aren't involved, is to say, you know what, then do me a favor, either right now or get some time on my calendar and bring those two or three leaders in with you, and let's have a conversation about it. What it does to those other two or three leaders that are one, two, three, four levels removed, I mean, one, not only does it give them exposure to the boss, but it gives the boss exposure to them, and it gives them the bragging rights to go out there and talk about, oh, my gosh, I just got to spend an hour with Daniel walking him through XYZ, 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 and I could go on for an hour on the benefits of what that does to the morale and the spirit of the team, of not just those who are in the room again, but when they go out and start sharing, you know what, he or she's not only untouchable, they're vulnerable, they're uneducated, they're somewhat ignorant, and they're really interested in learning and understanding and getting our point of view. And then what happens, you create a safer environment so the next time they see, you know, Johnny in the cafeteria, one, they have a little bit of a relationship, and Johnny doesn't feel bad going up to Daniel saying, you know, Mr. Gutierrez, You know, based on our conversation the other day, I did a little bit more follow-up. I'll send this information over to you. I think you'd be interested in seeing it. If everything was funneled through their boss, who had to feed it on to their supervisor, those conversations would never take place. And it takes organizations so much longer to grow, develop, and mature. But the more people you bring to the party in a very, again, consistent and predictable rhythm, but yet in a very informal, caring, and professional style, dude, I mean, I see it in companies all the time. If you run the correlations, simple correlations, between companies that do that and their financials with companies who function in the old pecking order, that I'm untouchable unless you're one level below me, so forth
right.
and so on, the math is easy. I mean, it doesn't. You don't have to be a Harvard, you know, a finance graduate to figure it out. I mean, and it's so beautiful to watch because people just come to work and leave work with smiles on their face, Daniel.
Right. No, I totally agree. Folks, it's amazing how quickly we go through this. I really appreciate the way that you kind of put that, because at the end of the day, I think if you're in a business, Fortune 500, 1,000, 150, this is something you really have to pay attention to, and I know that it's easy for it to get away from you. And if it does get away from you, it's a very difficult thing to fix. So I know that's why he probably brought it up. Next week, we're going to be talking about, it's actually the final disease. He calls the disease of extravagance and self-exhibition. Now, that's not a bad thing, folks. He's talking about a leader who turns his or her service into power and uses that power. I know, sometimes my mind just goes the wrong way. And uses that power for material gain. Or even worse, acquires it for greater power, and then, you know, kind of begins to Napoleonize, if that's even a word, the workplace. I got to coach someone in New York. It was very interesting that she was having a problem with a peer who basically was doing exactly this, was basically taking the power. And by the way, it was an illusional power. It wasn't even real. It was the power that the peers were given to that person, and that person was just feeding on it, you know. And it's just not healthy. And we're going to be talking about that next week. And again, we got just a few minutes here, folks. I mean, we always want to hear from you. At 347-677-1965. This has been an interesting 15 diseases. I think what we're going to end up doing on our call on the 4th of September, which, by the way, is the day before my birthday. I'm going to be heading to Colorado for a couple of days of R&R. We're going to be kind of summing it all up. There's actually, at the very end of the conversation he had, actually, and this is something, Johnny, I think would be really cool. It actually says, are you a healthy leader? So let's use the Pope's inventory of the leadership maladies to find out and ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 5, are you, or to what extent do you feel superior to those that work for you? I mean, these are great questions. I think it'd be great to kind of hash them out over the air, and maybe even invite a couple of folks, Johnny, to kind of join us and have this conversation. There's quite a few of them, so we may have to divide them into two shows, but I think that would be kind of fun. What do you think?
I think it's an awesome idea. I think that's fantastic. It can be less of you and I and a lot more of other folks and
exactly.
get their perspective on it. And I love the idea of folks calling in, because all week long I hear from individuals. I get emails, Twitter, and other notes saying how much they enjoy the show, and they provide a point of view. And I would tell you, if you and I can get on here and have the dialogue, don't be shy. You know, I'm not going to say your name, your address, you know, anything about your personal life. If you don't know it.
No, I won't.
Daniel Wilson. So please don't give your last name. But on the other end, you know, we love your opinion, because we learn and grow from it as much as
yes.
you listen to us. I love it, Daniel.
Not only that, folks, but we're coming up, as I said, probably on September 4th. We'll be, you know, for the month of September, looking for new topics you want to hear. It's not about Johnny and I coming to the table just having a conversation. We're really interested in what are the topics out there in the field of business and spirituality that you're interested in hearing about. And, you know, folks, they can be tough questions. They can be the questions that nobody talks about. That's why we're here. so we can discuss these things and find solutions for you that you may not get otherwise. And then, like Johnny said, this can be anonymous. You don't have to let us know who you are. We don't even have to mention your name, and you can ask these questions that you may not get answered otherwise. And just to give you a quick example, when I was speaking in New York last week, or a week and a half ago, somebody asked the question, why is it that spirituality is not allowed in the corporate marketplace? That was an excellent question. It was an excellent question. It was a great opportunity for me to answer that in a big forum. These are the types of questions that we want to take on so that we can help the evolution of that ideal of business, spirituality in business in the marketplace today. Because, folks, whether you want to believe it or not, or whether you want to engage or not, it's happening. So be a part, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Anything else, Johnny, before we leave?
Hey, man, I think you're absolutely right, Daniel. I think the more the merrier. And it's those mindful organizations, those conscious companies, they're going to be making up the Fortune 50, Fortune 100, and I guarantee you the Fortune 500, and you don't want to miss out on that. So please, and thanks for, it's good to hear back from you as well, Daniel. I look forward to the show next week.
You bet, and send my congratulatories to your daughter, and congratulations to you, and good luck on the stress level over the next couple of days. Talk to you later.
Thanks, man.